Hello.
Oh, it's finally working because I took my AirPods out.
Okay, there we go. Welcome back to the Jay Rogan Experience. Today, don't mind that voice crack. Today we're going to be talking about the power of citizens and why being a citizen and being an engaged citizen is important.
Why should citizens be engaged in their communities?
It's a good question, Adrian. Would you like to answer that?
So they can volunteer.
I think citizens should be engaged in their community to kind of uphold that sense of familiarity in their community and make themselves well known as a good person in the community, whether that be through volunteer work or voting, voting on your local representatives, because I believe it all starts, the most change you can do in America is by focusing on voting for in elections that are local to you, because it's going to affect your area the most.
Okay, no need for the big words. All right,
sorry.
So what power do citizens hold in our country? I believe they hold the power to a lot of things, especially with voting. They can manipulate their area how they would want, like the majority of the people around there would want it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree too. I think citizens hold a lot of power in our country. I think citizens, the Constitution was written for the citizens to protect our rights. And the government's only function, I believe, is to uphold those rights. Personally, I don't think they're doing a good job of it, but I think citizens hold a lot of power, especially when it comes to voting. We have the choice to vote on who we think represents us as individuals, and put them into office. And like I said earlier, that starts from the local level. So I think citizens have a lot of power in this country, especially when we all unite for the common good or a common objective.
Okay. What is something that you are passionate about that you can change? You answer first.
No, I want to hear you answer first.
No.
What is something that Adrian Ball is passionate about
in America?
Okay. Something that I'm passionate about that I can change. Oh boy. I'm very passionate about limited government. I don't like government. Government is very uncool, in my opinion.
I agree.
I think our government has grown way too big since, the founding of the Constitution. And the founding of our government in general. Like I said, I think that the government should only exist to uphold the rights of our citizens. When I think our government just has too much power right now, and a lot of it needs to be stripped away. So one thing that I can do to help change that is advocate for a more limited government, whether that be voting. Me as a libertarian, libertarians believe in a much more limited government, very limited government intervention. So voting for my beliefs and people that represent my beliefs is a way that I can make a change, and also advocating for it, whether that be through protest or social media or whatever. So that's one thing I'm passionate about that I can fight for to change. What about you, Adrian?
I agree.
Would you like to elaborate?
I agree, because I don't 100% like a very large government, because, like you said before, they have a little bit too much of a, say on what happens. I feel like it should be more like with masks. I know in class I don't wear mine. But I feel like it should be more of a choice instead of, kind of forcing it on people, even though nobody really should have the power to be able to do that.
Yeah, when it comes to me, I don't think the government should have the power to mandate pretty much anything. When it comes to a private business, you know, if they want to mandate masks, like, you know, their private business, it's their property. I believe that they should have the power to do that. But if it's a government-funded or government-ran area or building or whatever, I don't believe that they should have the power to do any of that.
Yeah.
I believe that is tyranny. But next question. All right, Adrian. How can you fight for change as a U.S. citizen?
By protesting, voting for people who actually have your thoughts in mind, like what you want in mind for whenever, like, they take office or whatever, they actually plan on doing what they say instead of kind of talking about it and not really doing what they say. Like, a lot of people do that, just people get in office for a power grab, but whatever. But you can protest, you can vote for the right people. Yeah,
I agree. I think you know, our right to protest and freedom of speech is so important. In my opinion, that's the second most important right that's, you know, that we have as U.S. citizens. Most important to me is the right to bear arms, but second most is freedom of speech. You know, a lot of countries in the world, if you protest, I don't know, if you protest there being too much, I don't know, water in your toilet or something, you get executed for it. the slightest things. That was a really bad analogy, but, you know, like, if you protest for anything, like, let's say, you know, the Middle East, especially in Afghanistan right now, to kind of talk about current events, protesting for women's rights in Afghanistan will get you executed. So I think that's, protesting and voting, not just, you know, the two main parties, you know, Republican, Democrat. There might be a candidate, you know, there's going to be candidates from both parties that don't, like, none of the candidates there uphold your views. Search for third parties, you know, Libertarian, Green Party. Those are the two biggest third parties, but not just them, you know, Democratic, Socialist Party, even though I don't agree with them. If you do, you should vote for them. You don't have to necessarily vote for the two big parties in America. So I think that's, you know, voting and protesting are the biggest ways that you can fight for change in America.
Yeah, I 100% agree. If you know someone or of a story of someone fighting for change, you can speak about it on... I was reading number five.
Well, yeah, I know.
not really a question.
Do I know a story of someone fighting for change? That's tough. Adrian, do you know anyone?
No, I don't think so.
I know there are definitely, I don't know of someone, but I know movements that are fighting for change, whether that be, you know, something that I agree with or not, like, you know, cancel culture, you know, just to kind of, you know, probably one of the biggest online movements fighting for change, which, you know, when it comes to cancel culture, it's very touchy. There are a lot of people that think that it's a net positive thing and that it's good to expose people for wrongdoings. And there are a lot of people that think it's a bad thing. It's a negative thing. And I think, you know, originally starting off, cancel culture was a good thing, especially when it came to Harvey Weinstein, you know, exposing him and what he's done, getting him jailed. You know, when the court systems won't uphold, I think it was a good example of when, you know, court systems, or, you know, I guess you could call it the deep state, tries to cover up or, you know, won't look into a problem that is well known, the citizens will you know, fight to do it themselves. But I think cancel culture is kind of gone or gotten out of hand at this point when it comes, you know, to nowadays. You know, there'll be a person on Twitter that made a joke 12 years ago about, I don't know, they'll say like, we just say something like women aren't funny or something. 12 years ago, they'll tweet that out.
They'll get canceled.
Yeah, and then, you know, 12 years.
They did so long ago.
Yeah. And 12 years later, you have these people on Twitter that are like, oh, look at this famous person tweeting this. You see this?
Did that before they even got famous or something?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. You know, it's like, look at this famous person. They tweeted this. They're sexist, racist, homophobic, and every other phobic in existence because they tweeted this out 12 years ago, because obviously people can't change. So, yeah, it's my opinion, it started out as a good thing, and it transformed into this absolute nightmare where it's kind of become like the death of comedy. Like, you can't
make like an actual joke without someone like being offended.
Exactly.
Even if it's not about them.
Exactly. You know, it's a lot of these white knights that, you know, come like, I'm offended for you. So, like, you know, they're obviously, you know, humor is subjective, but I think you obviously we have the right, you know, we have the freedom of speech, and anything that you say is going to have repercussions. You know, whether you go out into the streets of Compton and scream the N-word with a hard R, you know, you have the right to do that, but, you know, there's going to be repercussions.
Not exactly the right thing to do.
Well, you do legally have the right to do that, but there are going to be repercussions from other people that don't like that, obviously. So it's obviously not a good thing to do that. You shouldn't do that anyways. But I'd say that's probably, I guess, one current story about people fighting for change. But I kind of rambled on a little bit there. Adrian, do you have any good stories or knowing of things or organizations or people that are fighting for change?
Not really. That's why I kind of added on to yours every once in a while.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. I think we're good. We're going to keep it short. A nice little 12 and a half minute podcast. Adrian, would you like to say anything before we go?
Bye.
All right. Goodbye.